Thinking about joining us in Indianapolis for the Gospel Coalition's 2024 Women's Conference? The regular rate price of $239 goes up to $259 on May 8th. This is your final chance to save on your registration. Join us June 20th through the 22nd to feast together on the words of Jesus with keynote messages from Jen Wilkin, Melissa Kruger, David Platt, and more, and featuring worship music led by Shane and Shane. Sign up before the price increases on May 8th at tgcw24.org. Welcome back to TGC Q&A, a podcast from the Gospel Coalition, where each week you'll hear conversations between members of our council and friends who provide their unique perspective on your most pressing spiritual questions. Today on TGC Q&A, Crawford Luritz and Jason Cook discuss the question, what Bible passage do you treasure most? Let's listen in.
Yeah, for me, it would be 1 Corinthians 1:18. I was at a season in college when I was trying to figure out what it meant to walk with Jesus, and at an FCA retreat, and preacher comes in and preaches 1 Corinthians 1:18, which says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are believing, it is the power of God." And at a time when I was trying to figure out what it meant to really faithfully walk with Jesus as an athlete in a secular institution, it just kind of hit me that, man, people are blind. Yeah. And they're blind to see the goodness of Jesus. They're also dead. And so it's going to be foolishness to them. And I think that day it kind of gave me courage to know that no matter what I do to try to, quote unquote, fit in, I won't ever really fully fit in, because if you've not had your eyes opened by the gospel and really by the Spirit's work, then this is all foolishness and folly.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, man, I'm just struck with the realization. It's amazing how a verse will intercept us at a certain point in our journey, which makes it profoundly meaningful. That's what I'm getting from you. You know, this is a hard question for me to answer, because there are a number of verses at certain points in my life that have been dear to me. And as you were speaking, I was thinking of times when I was going through a hard time or God was redirecting me, and there would be something that he would drop in my heart. But I have to tell you, probably over the last, most of my life, it's been Joshua 1:8. And
that's a good one, Doc.
Yeah. Well, it's captured me, and I suppose I got first introduced to the verse way back in Bible college, and it so gripped my heart. And it's the only place in the Bible where success is descriptively defined. You know, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. And then you, it's interesting, he didn't say then I, God is speaking. He said, no, success or failure is in your hands, then you will have good success. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Meaning your success is in direct proportion or in direct relationship to your commitment to the truth of God's word. And so that was a verse that when my kids were born, the very first words they heard me speak to them, before I say, "Oh, you're cute," and all that, was Joshua 1:8. And our 11 grandkids' first words, if they've ever heard me speak to them, was Joshua 1:8. And because I could get preachy on this one.
Please do.
One of my abiding concerns about Christians these days, and I'm a pastor, and the Bible is, we're getting very pedestrian about the scriptures, some of us. And the Bible is viewed as a point of reference rather than the context of our lives. And that's the reason why we're so shallow. We'll go, you know, get between a rock and a hard place and then do a little foray back to the scriptures and grab a Bible verse to help us right there. But we've got to make a decision that the Bible is going to be my life. And God reminds me of that whenever I read Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1
yeah.
as well. So,
man, that's yeah. good. Well, I was, even as you talk, there's so much. So I'm two generations behind you. And there are a lot of men.
That makes me feel so old.
Well, I'm man. Looking at you, and I'm just honored to be at the table. There's a lot of faithfulness.
Yeah, well, that's sitting. A nice way of putting it. It's a euphemism for old as dirt, but I get you, man.
But I do think there are a lot of young men my age who are pastoring and preaching
yes.
who have lost, in some sense, the sufficiency and the belief in the sufficiency of God's word in an attempt to become culturally relevant, or more effective in communicating to a younger generation.
You know, that's a profound insight, because I actually think it's not so much that they've consciously lost confidence or in the sufficiency of God's word. I think unwittingly they have more confidence in their competencies than they do in God's word.
Say that.
And the gifting and talents we've elevated above the transforming power of the scriptures. And I think that that's the reason why so many younger guys burn out. We get to this place where, because we think that the craft and how I do what I do and the gifts that I have will carry the water. Well, you know, any old bush will do. It's our dependence upon the Lord. It's giving ourselves to this book that's going to carry the water. Now, I'm not saying gifts aren't important. They are important. Faithfulness is important. But your gift is not a statement of your identity. It's only what God uses. My statement of my identity is Jesus and living and abiding in this book.
Amen. And I, as you were talking, I was thinking back to 1 Corinthians 1:18 that, and Paul would later go on to say this, that the power of his preaching is not in his eloquence.
Yes.
It's not in how he can string together sentences and illustrations. His power is actually in his weakness. Yeah. And it's in the dependence and the power of God to do the work in that sense. And not, again, not that faithfulness or, excuse me, gifting doesn't matter. But man, a true trust in the sufficiency of Scripture, the power of God in the text. That's one of the things that impacted me and intersected with me that day that still sticks with me.
That's great. You know, the whole idea is letting God use your gift, but not having the gift own you. Letting God own you, letting the Word capture your affections, and your character always has to be greater than your abilities. And if we get to that place where we're more passionate about becoming Christ-likeness, becoming like Christ, then our character will eclipse our gifts. And that's the way that's where we're maximally effective anyway.
That's good.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A. To submit a question that you would like to hear answered on this podcast, send us an email at ask@tgc.org. And remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A.